Pod Squad, the green episode. On this episode, we have Red Bull, Nate Dog,
Happy,
J Dog,
Expert Pilot Oscar,
Eliana the Banana,
Sean the Sheep,
Emma.
And for the first time presenting, we have
Ray Monto!
We are here to talk to Eco Council about how they are trying to keep this school clean, how our school can be sustainable, and how we can help.
We also have guest speakers, including Mrs. Caligari, Mrs. Friend, and a parent of the school. What they'll be speaking about, you'll have to stay tuned in to find out.
But first, what does sustainable mean?
We learned all about this in geography in year five. It means something which is good for the people, good for the environment, and good for the economy, which is the country's money.
Our first guest is the amazing Miss Caligari. As you all know, she took part in the London Marathon last month, and we have the first exclusive interview with her post-marathon. How are you feeling after you've run it?
Well, I feel very, very proud of myself that I've actually done it. It feels a bit surreal that I've achieved it because I've wanted to do it for so long. And my legs really hurt and my toes hurt even more.
How did you feel when you completed it?
I felt very relieved that it was over. I actually was so excited to collect the medal, which was lovely. And I felt very proud. Someone said to me, well done, just a stranger that also did it. And I shed a little tear because I was very proud of everyone that did it because it was hard.
What was the best thing about your mile run?
It was definitely seeing my friends and family along the way cheering me on. That kept me going. So I was very lucky to have my daughters and my husband and my mum and my sister and all my nephews, my cousins. And then I had lots of my friends there as well. So they were all at different miles along the way. And very lucky as well, Mrs. Knight and Miss Moore came to see me too, which was really fun.
What was your time?
It was 5 hours and 29 minutes. I was aiming to get it under 5 hours, but I didn't quite achieve that.
What landmarks did you run past?
The first landmark was the Cutty Sark, and then it was kind of quiet on landmarks until I got to Canary Wharf. And then I got to run over Tower Bridge. And past the Tower of London, past the London Eye, past Westminster Abbey. And the best part was when Buckingham Palace was just behind me and I was running up the Mall to the finish line.
What did you feel like in the middle of it?
I felt really good in the middle because I had been quite used to running 13.1 miles because I've done a lot in my training. But that's where my mum and my sister and my cousins and my nephews all stood. And the charity was there as well. The Mouser House was at Tower Bridge. So I felt really, really good at that point to see everybody and see everyone cheering me on.
How was the training?
The training was very, very tricky. Probably harder than the actual race because I had to train lots and lots throughout the week. And sometimes the training was 5 hours at a time. So trying to fit that in around looking after my children and teaching and those kind of things was really tricky.
How were you feeling before the marathon?
I was very, very excited on the Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And I was very lucky because my children run in the kids' mini marathon in London on the Saturday. So I was very, very excited and just feeling lots of... Yeah, I could feel the atmosphere when I went to that, which was great. Then on the Sunday, I woke up feeling really, really nervous. And listening to people's stories just before we started, they were all feeling nervous with me.
Did you meet anyone you knew on the running track?
No, not people that I knew, but lots of strangers at the beginning. We were all wishing each other good luck. And I spotted some people during the race The most exciting part was on the Saturday at the kids' mini marathon. I got to meet Nitro from Gladiators because he warmed up all the children and then he walked around and then I had a photo with him, which was very exciting.
So lucky.
Well, Miss Caligari, I see you have something around your neck. What is that?
It's the finisher's medal that you get if you cross the finishing line at the London Marathon.
I see you have some pictures on it. What do they mean?
Well, it's a very exciting medal because I run on the 26th of the 4th, 2026, and obviously the marathon is 26.2 miles. So it's a new medal that they've just brought out, and it has some braille markings for the visually impaired. It has pictures of the Cutty Sark on the front, and it says 26.2 miles, 26th of April, 2026. And on the back, it has pictures of the landmarks that I got to run past throughout the marathon. There's also a place for me to have my name engraved and the time that I took to do the marathon on there.
That's very cool.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me in the studio.
Also, another great thing we are doing at school is focusing on reading. Just interviewed Mrs. Friend about reading in school. And here's the interview.
Hello, Mrs. Friend. I've got some questions to ask you about reading. First one, why is reading good for our mental health?
Hi, Jess. Yep, no problem. Let's get these answered. So why is reading good for our mental health? Well, reading can help us feel calm and it helps us to relax. Stories can give children a safe way to explore lots of different feelings, maybe by following the characters in that story and how those characters are feeling. Reading can help us with problem solving, as often characters face challenges and they figure out ways to solve them. So yeah, I'd say that's why reading is good for our mental health.
Right, second question. Why should we read for pleasure?
Why should we read for pleasure? So, well, I read for pleasure because it helps us, it lets us go into different worlds. So obviously non-fiction, as we know, expands our knowledge. And maybe if people are struggling with concentration and focus, reading is a good way to help them sort of slow things down and let them sort of, you know, calm their mind. And it calms us down at the end of the day. Reading is definitely something that I do every night before bed because it's, you know, proven to help us sleep better.
Right, third and final question. Why is reading so important?
Wow, how long have you got? Why is reading so important? So it exposes us to lots and lots of new words, and they might be words that we've never come across before. Now, as an older person who reads, I'm still having to phonetically sound out some of those words that I come across, so it's really good for my brain. And in such a busy world that we all live in, taking time just to sit and to read just helps us relax. And it's important to allow that time to calm our minds and bodies. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons why reading is so important.
Thank you, Mrs. Finn, for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, Jess.
Before we speak to our final guests about their amazing work in school, we have our very first external guest speaker, which is Ray's dad. He is here to tell us all about the work he does.
Hello, how have you been today?
Oh, hi, Ray. I've been very good today, thank you. Actually, it's my first podcast. I've never been to a podcast before, so I feel very honoured and a little bit nervous.
First question, what do you work as?
So, I work as an agronomist. So what an agronomist means, essentially, I help farmers grow healthy plants and food. So I work especially with strawberry plants, as you know. So you can think of me as a doctor for plants and a helper for farmers.
Why are plants so important to the environment?
So plants are very important to the environment because they give us food, they give us clean air, and homes for animals and insects. Without plants, people and animals could not live.
How is your job helping the environment?
That's a good question, Ray. So my job helps the environment because we try to grow strawberries in a smart and careful way. with my job, we try to save water, we protect the soil, and we use fewer chemicals. We also protect helpful insects and bees because they help plants grow.
Climate change, how is this affecting the plants?
That's a very important question, Ray. So climate change makes the weather be less predictable. Sometimes it gets too hot, too dry, or there is too much rain, and plants do not like sudden changes. Strawberry plants, specifically, are very sensitive, so strange weather can make them harder to grow.
How are you helping climate change?
So, I help farmers grow food in ways that are better for nature. We try to reduce waste, we try to save water, and we keep the soil healthy. Small actions can help protect the earth.
Thank you for coming here today, and I hope you have a lovely afternoon.
Well, thank you for inviting me to this podcast. And please remember, if we take care of nature, nature takes care of us.
Now it's time to put on our eco cap and talk to the eco counselors who play an important role in our school.
Thank you, eco counselors, for being here. You help make our school clean and green.
With Mrs. McKenton and some of the eco counselors here to answer our questions about eco. How are you keeping our school clean and green right now?
We've got lots of projects happening at the moment. We're helping with the install of the solar panels on the roof. Some children last time had flown a drone up to see where we thought the best place for them would be. We're doing lots of things with the garden, growing fruits and vegetables. We're about to work with the local council, who are going to come and do a big project for us. We're renovating the pond area to make it more accessible for children. And I'll let the Eco Council tell you about all the things we're doing with recycling. We've got an exciting project with glue sticks, whiteboard pencils, and recycling pens. And we're also recycling cartridges for the printer. So an awful lot going on.
How are you going to improve on the great work you have done already?
With glue sticks, we have gotten some recyclable packaging for the glue sticks, and they can be refilled. And we want to keep this going because glue sticks are plastic and they cannot be recycled properly. And we also have changed the whiteboard pens. Since whiteboard pens are plastic with ink, we have gotten whiteboard pencils. And the whiteboard pencils are like pencils, but they work on your whiteboard.
How many litter picking jobs have you done?
So far we've done two. So very exciting. We're planning on to do some more, maybe when it's a bit warmer and not raining too much.
How can we help to help you?
By just really keeping the school clean and doing litter picks regularly and recycling clothes at our local donation points and giving stuff to charity. And using the right bins as well.
Why did you join the Eco Council, and how can